Well, now that we've had a little introduction to the truth and who is what, I would now like to introduce Brody to come and share some more truth with us. Nice to have you here, mate. Father, I just want to thank you for Brody and thank you for what he has done to prepare us for tonight. Father, I pray that your words are coming through him, that he is a vessel of your spirit, that he is giving us life as you would like to give us life. In your name, amen.
Cool. Well, it's good to be here tonight. That was a fun game, wasn't it? Yeah, it really depends on what translation you use, hey? It's like, it's a lot of translations out there. Well, tonight we're going to talk about identity, and I have this cool stick figure. It'll all make sense soon. But I always like to start with a joke, so I have a good funny joke, and you might wonder why I tell a joke, because I just think sometimes as Christians we can, you know, we just need to like laugh at ourselves sometimes. So my joke is this: what do you call the identity of a person who secretly is a priest? It's an alter ego. Yeah, really good joke. Yeah. Bring back Rob, yeah. His jokes are good. But today I want to talk about identity, and I guess the question I want to ask is, who are you? Who are you? And I'm not talking about what you do or what you like or where you're from, although that's, you know, that's part of it. But I just want to ask, just think, who are you? Who are you? Child of God. Amen. Come on. And part of the question that I believe is tied up within who you are is whose you are. Whose you are. And I want to, you know, I want to share openly and honestly, and I think if I'm not showing open and honestly, you know, what's the point, right? So I want to share tonight, like, a bit about my journey and just part of me growing up as a young person. This was like probably one of the biggest challenges that I faced. Like, I didn't know who I was and I didn't know my identity in Christ. You know, it's not like I've like finally arrived and oh, I'm awesome. I've got my identity in Christ. No, it's something that I'm growing in every day. But especially when I was a young person, that was such a massive challenge for me to actually know my identity in Christ. And often what would happen was I would become suckered into believing often what other people would say about me. So I had a lot of people say lots of things about me, especially at school. You know, I got things like, oh, he's a weirdo. Or I used to get like psycho. That was really, I don't know if that was a compliment. I was a bad kid. I used to like chuck chairs and stuff. I had actual teachers who used to say really nasty stuff to me. I don't think schools are like that now. They're a lot better. But the thing is, I actually allowed those words that people actually spoke over me to form part of my identity. Because I didn't actually know my real identity in Christ, if that makes sense. And obviously I'm in a much, much better place now. Like, I've been restored and I've gone through a long process of restoration and healing and, walking in a way better place now. But part of knowing my identity came from knowing whose I was. And for me as a young person, I didn't understand that until I had my eyes opened, until I had this revelation of OMG. Oh my goodness. God. Like, this just I don't know where, like, it was like the Holy Spirit or something just enabled me to have this revelation of, oh my gosh, God, the creator of the universe. God, the one who measures the universe in the palm of his hands. That's what the psalm says. It says he measures the universe in the palm of his hands. This is our God. The almighty, all-powerful creator God loves me. And he calls me his own son. Wasn't until I had that revelation that I've started to know my identity in Christ. And the way he did that, but the way he loved us was he stepped down into earth in human form through Jesus Christ. You know, one of the most famous verses that we know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son that for whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm going like really fast. And then it says, like in the next verse, he didn't come into the world to judge the world, but to save the world. And Philippians 2:6-8 says this, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. This is God stepping down, coming to earth, loving us in Jesus. And he sacrificed himself for me so that I could actually become right with God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is one of my favorite verses. And I often just think about this verse all the time, but it says, he made him who knew no sin, to become sin, that we might become the righteousness of God through him. How incredible is that? We are the righteousness of God through Jesus. And Ephesians 1:4-5 says this. It says, this is just so good. Even before he made the world, God loved us. He chose us to be holy and without fault in his eyes, and God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. How cool is that? And there's a picture of, you know, the earth. It's pretty amazing. But we belong to God, and he calls us his beloved children. And yeah, everyone knows I'm a dad, so I just illustrate everything because I'm a dad now, but with my daughter. But I know, like, my daughter, I just love her so, so much, right? And Beatrix is related to me and to Raina. And no matter what, she'll always be my daughter. And she has a sense of belonging in our family. She knows that mum and dad love her very, very much. Interesting fact, but I was talking about this with Raina the other day, and apparently toddlers seem to misbehave around their mums. They're apparently 80% more likely to misbehave. I don't know if that's true or not, but I think it is with our daughter. But anyway, she's like super comfortable with mum. She'll just like, she'll be okay to chuck a tantrum or whatever. Just like, ah. Because she knows she can get away with things. But here's the thing, right? If Beatrix decided to run away one day, which I hope she never does, is she still my daughter? Yes, right? She's still my daughter. And actually, it doesn't matter what she does. She will always be related to me and she will always be my daughter. And there will always be a place in my house for my daughter. Because she's family. And similarly, God's love for us is even greater than that. Once we accept Christ into our lives, just because we stuff up or have like a sinful experience, that doesn't change our status with him. We are still children of God and he loves us and there is a place at his table. And I think, I don't know, I have to shift my thinking because I can be guilty of this all the time. I can often say, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I mean, that's partly true. Before we knew God, that is true. We were aliens to him. Romans even calls us enemies of God. But when we are in Christ, we become saints. Think about, you never hear someone walk around and be like, yeah, I'm a saint, living for Jesus, spreading the good news. I hear it all the time, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I think if you walk around and you're just like, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, it's a bit of a downer, isn't it? But you can walk around and actually hold your head high, knowing that in Christ you are a saint. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Here's another thing, like, what about when you get stuck in doubt? I mean, I used to wonder if God could ever really love me. I don't know about you, but I've done some very terrible things in my life. Like, this is my pre-baptism days, like before I knew Christ. But I used to ask God that all the time. How could you love me? But it wasn't until I had the revelation of actually God sees me through the lens of Jesus. So when he looks at me, he doesn't see all my dirty imperfections, because when I accepted Christ into my life, he washed me clean. He gave me a new heart. He made me a new creation. I became born again. Brand new. It's a bit like, I've heard a preacher explain it like a shower. Like, you don't go into the shower with your clothes on, hey. That would just be like silly, right? What's the point of having a shower? To get washed, to get clean. And it's a bit like that with God. You don't wait until you have it all together and then you like come to God and be like, oh yeah. No, you just jump in and he just does the work. It's all him. So yeah, identity. So I'm just going to talk about two more things, and then we're going to do hamburgers. We're doing all right? Hanging in there? All right, good. Okay, so all of you know, I've recently been doing Arrow, and they did this thing with me, with the class, and it's called The Cycle of Grief versus The Cycle of Grace. So if we can have that slide up, The Cycle of Grief. Is there a slide called The Cycle of Grief? Hey, here we go. Okay, so what happens is this, okay? Just sharing this, I'm just pretty much preaching to myself. But a lot of the time, my identity, who I am, can often be tied up in my achievements, in my success, in my doing. And often that leads, to my identity, right? And it gives me a sense of significance. But that significance is really dependent on what I achieve and what I do. And then that sense of significance drives me to do more. It drives me to achieve more. And then there is an acceptance that I feel from my own sense of self-worth. And what happens is I keep striving to keep doing more in my own strength. But what happens is I can become very fragile when I'm unable to achieve what others would label as success. And then when I'm unable to achieve, I can easily lose my sense of self-worth and belonging. And I can start to feel condemnation or guilt or shame. And I can start feeling this sense of, oh my goodness, do I really have what it takes? Can I really do this? Start to freak out. I can have panic attacks. I can feel completely overwhelmed because I have the weight of the world hanging on my shoulders. So if we go to the next slide, the cycle of grace. So the cycle of grace actually flips that. So the cycle of grace starts with acceptance. My identity starts with knowing my acceptance in Christ.
He has an unconditional love for me. Ephesians 2, 4 to 5 says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even when we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. So my acceptance in Christ then enables me to relax. I don't have to prove myself to anyone. I can rest in the fact that I'm fully loved, fully accepted in Christ. I can be myself. I don't have to pretend to be somebody that I'm not. And there is a strength and a sense of freedom that I feel from being a child of God, knowing that all my needs are met in Christ. And then that creates in me a sense of identity in Christ. There's a significance there. Ephesians 2:6 says, we've been seated with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. That was our verse from Saturate, I think a few years ago. But we have significance in Christ. And because I'm building my sense of identity on who I am as a child of God, fully accepted and fully loved, there's no more feelings of condemnation or guilt or shame or the weight of the world hanging on my shoulders, because my identity is no longer built on what I achieve or do or strive for. It's built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, because he is faithful forever. He is dependable, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when I go through those tough times, because I hate to break it to you, you will go through some tough times in life. But when I go through those tough times, I'm going to be able to cling to the promises I have in his word. I'm able to hold on to the love of the Father poured out in Jesus that lives in me through the Holy Spirit. And there's a passion and excitement, and there's a freedom there. So that's a bit on the cycle of grief versus the cycle of grace. And I guess part of the question I want to ask you tonight is, where do you find yourself in that cycle? Do you find your identity being built on your striving? Or do you find yourself being secure and knowing your acceptance in Christ? And I'm not saying it's not wrong to strive or do good things. Hear what I'm trying to say. But it's an issue when our whole identity hangs on those things, because those things are temporal. Situations change. Jobs come and go. So my question is, I wonder where you find yourself tonight. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Maybe there's something you perhaps need to let go of that's forming part of your identity that's not actually really healthy. So what I want to do, right, is we have some pieces of paper, and Cammy and Andrew are going to just hand them out. And there's some pens as well. Yep. So what I'd like us to do with that piece of paper is, maybe there's something you're carrying about who you are that you feel you might actually need to let go of. And then what I'd like us to do with that is that I'm going to play a short video. I found this incredible video about identity, and we're going to watch that video. And then after the video, what we're going to do is, actually, we're going to come with that piece of paper, and we're going to just lay it at the foot of the cross, you know, and that's a sign of us surrendering and letting go and giving it over to God. And then I've actually just made up some cards, and these cards are like part of our identity in Christ. So I'm going to leave them up the front, and then you just grab a little verse, and then you just read that through the week And think about that verse. It's got stuff like, I am seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenly realms. I have been redeemed and all my sins are forgiven. So, does that make sense? All right, cool. So we're going to just watch this, little video. It goes for about, I think, 5 minutes. And then after that, we'll just come down to the cross and you just lay what you need to. And no one's going to read it. It's just going to be destroyed. Okay. So, and then, you just grab a verse and then I'm going to come and we'll pray and then we're going to do hamburgers.